I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Jeff Bezos will soon receive delivery of a $500 million mega yacht. Stephen Colbert says, we don't know when it'll be delivered, but we do know it will come in a much bigger box. Great Joe Kimmel. The yacht is 417 feet long. It's so big, the Suez Canal would get stuck in it. Kimmel points out the yacht is so big, it requires a support yacht to travel with it. This is like the billionaire version of having a second fridge in your garage. Corden, it sounds like an old-time comedian's routine, doesn't it? Jeff Bezos is so rich, even his boats have got boats. Bezos is so rich, when he goes to the ATM, the ATM asks him for money, Gordon. Truth is, Bezos didn't really need the support yacht, but Amazon did one of those upsells where they go, people who buy this also buy that. Colbert, you can tell which one is the support yacht because it has the little vest. That way you can take the yacht on the plane with you. Colbert, here's why Bezos needs it. The mommy yacht will be powered with the assistance of three giant masts, and those sails mean it will not support a helipad, so they need a separate ship with a dedicated landing facility. I mean, who hasn't needed a separate yacht just for his helicopter? Colbert, Bezos is truly an everyman, and that he is the combined wealth of every man. See you at the show trials, Jeff. Haven't talked about Gutfeld lately. What's this guy's name? Greg Gutfeld. I'm going to call him Gutfield 50 times during this podcast. Too bad, Greg Gutfeld. I mean, no offense. I should learn your name because Greg Gutfeld is the host of Fox News Channel's late night show. He wrote an essay on Fox asking, whatever happened to Sarah Silverman? Seriously, what happened to her? She used to be the fun comedian with the potty mouth who wore pigtails and her college boyfriend's football jersey until she was in her 40s. Now, she's a middle-aged political activist who earnestly transplains the world of competitive sports to all of people, the world's greatest trans athlete in history, Caitlyn Jenner. Gutfeld played a clip from Sarah's podcast. Here is the transcript of Sarah speaking. Caitlyn, you're a woman, right? A trans girl is a girl. She should have the same rights as cis girls, slash, what do you think, a trans girl is too strong? What about tall girls, as opposed to short girls? What about boys in high school who are teeny tiny and their teammates have already hit puberty and are shaving? Why don't you just have co-ed sports divided by weight and height? You know, this is so dumb. This is not a concern for girl sports. It's transphobia, full stop. That's the end of the transcript. Back to Gutfeld's commentary. He said, did she just say full stop? Someone went to London. Mind the gap, love. Watch out for that lorry. Full stop. Sounds like the state of her career. Is that supposed to be funny, man? I know I'm terrible at reading other people's jokes, but is that supposed to be funny? Let me run through that again. Did she just say full stop? Someone went to London. Mind the gap, love. Watch out for that lorry. Really? Dude, come on. Be better. Gutfeld writes, anyway, that was mean. She slams a trans person, Caitlyn Jenner, then accuses that trans person, Caitlyn Jenner, of hurting trans people. How arrogant do you have to be to think you know more than Caitlyn Jenner about trans issues and competitive sports? That's like arguing with Brian Stetler about what it's like inside the Cheesecake Factory. What? Or maybe that's like me arguing with Sarah about wearing blackface. Yeah, Sarah appeared in blackface on her short-lived Comedy Central show. Seems kind of racist to me. Full stop. Gutfeld. You'll find it on the Fox News Channel. Hope you enjoy it. Tonight on Saturday Night Live, your host, MacPacker Keegan-Michael Key. What's the MacPack? Those are my celebrity man crushes. It's Michael Chiklis, Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash, Keegan-Michael Key. Well, Keegan is hosting SNL tonight. Gazette Extra. Talked to some people that knew Key when he was younger. Planet Ants executive director Darren Shelton has known Key from an early age and has watched in awe as his career progressed. Shelton said, it's always been really cool to see. It's like Keegan's playing a reporter. That was in the 2004 Bernie Mac comedy, Mr. 3000. And then it's like Keegan's on Mad TV. And then Key and Peele's a thing that exists. It's always crazy to see someone you know hit these marks. And every time he checks another box, it's surreal. I remember specifically one time he was a character in an improv scene who was drinking a hot coffee mug. And you could see that it was hot in his lips. You could see he was blowing the steam off it. At one point, he stopped in mid-sentence to interrupt himself by taking a sip of coffee. That's improv basics done at the highest, most professional level. That hot coffee became a character in the scene, and he never says a word. He never mentions it. But he's holding it close to his mouth, and the way he holds his coffee cup, it demonstrates the body language of the character. He creates so much about this character just by this choice to hold the coffee cup and stand there drinking it. Margaret Edwardtowski is part of the Detroit improv comedy community. She says he's an actor, and that's what makes everything he does really solid. He has this great training on top of being crazy talented and on top of it being really likable. He's the guy that if you hadn't seen, you wanted to give it to make sure he'd gotten to the show, because you would hand him his script and he would completely understand everything you were trying to accomplish and put 110% in all the time, sometimes 160%, random number, which is more than you even wanted, but he doesn't phone it in ever. He just has this very contagious energy and a very likable vibe. He's just magnetic, and that is why he's in the Mac Pack. Keegan was recently on Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Of course he was. And he told Bear, "I have a people-pleasing issue. I do think it comes from being adopted. I think people who are adopted have this kind of situation where you go, I'm going to do everything everybody else tells me because I don't want to get abandoned again. I think it happens to people." You may have noticed I tend to talk about British stuff on the weekends. Not sure why, but that's when I tend to do it. Hey, UKers, Jeremy Piven is set to make his UK stand-up comedy debut. Are you excited? You're going to have to wait till October 15th and 16th, though. He'll play the Leicester Square Theatre. From the SF Chronicle, Guy Branum is certain that those who suffer from chronic depression like him were better suited for the isolation created by the pandemic this last year. He said, "Everybody is acting and living in the way that a depressed person lives. I never leave the house, never put on pants. I just watch Top Chef over and over. I already know what happens in all 40 seasons of Survivor, which means I'm in a better position to help out all my non-depressed friends." So he joined with some friends and started the Mental Health Comedy Hour. Guided by the mantra, "We're not okay and that's okay," the series is now set to mark its 30th show. That's today. Margaret Cho will join. So you can check that out tonight. Tickets on Eventbrite. Just look for Mental Health Comedy Hour. That's what I just did. The show is at 10 p.m. Eastern, according to Eventbrite, who just adjusted the time for my time zone on my computer. 10 East, 7 West. Margaret Cho, Guy Branum, Mental Health Comedy Hour tonight. From Bedford and Bowery, Natalie Cuomo is a comedian who often cracks a one-liner in reference to her recognizable surname. "The only thing I have in common with the governor of New York is my last name and my body piercings." Good joke. "I'm very personal with my material. I joke about my romantic relationships, the way I view the world, my anxiety, and growing up in New York City. I would definitely describe my comedy as dark humor with a lightness to it." She's one of many comedians adjusting and doing shows again, saying, "I did a show indoors in Jersey recently. I was like, oh yeah, can't believe I used to do this every night. Like, this is a living. This is cool." She's created a show because she was tired of hearing the same male perspective from other comics. Her show's called That Time of the Month Comedy Show. It's at the People's Improv Theater. Natalie Cuomo says, "It's a male-saturated industry. You'll do a show and it's six guys and one woman. And by the time you get up, the audience is like, thank God, anything other than a guy." She's no stranger to hearing unwanted perspectives from others. The other day, she went on Twitter and saw a thread ranking the funniest comedians, except the list was based on how hot the women were, not their talent. Cuomo says, "It's really annoying. I mean, literally, a few days ago, I went to a show and saw this comic that I respect. He's just like, hey, what's up? Are you a comedian or a model? I don't think it's a compliment. I don't think somebody would say that to a male. A lot of the jokes are about how you look. A lot of them are easy swings about using your sexuality to get somewhere. And I think it's frustrating. You start to gauge quickly how to navigate people talking down to you. You have to have a thick skin to be a woman in comedy, for sure." Comedy's top dog this week, Conan O'Brien versus Trevor Noah. If you missed last Sunday's episode, I did a full episode about Conan O'Brien. I've got some leftovers from that episode where Vulture had spoken to some of the Conan writers. One of them is Brian Stack, who said, "There were so many late night characters I loved, some very famous like Triumph, some silly one-offs like Jabba the Foxworthy," which is Jabba the Hutt with a Jeff Foxworthy-like mustache and joke delivery. That's, I gotta look that up. You know, I like doing a half-assed Jeff Foxworthy impression myself. "I'll always be very grateful that I got to do a few recurring characters myself, like Hannigan the Traveling Salesman, the Interrupter, Frankenstein, and Artie Kendall the Ghost Crooner. But I'll always have a very special place in my heart for Andy's little sister, Stacy, 13-year-old girl with pigtails and orthodontic headgear, played by Amy Poehler, who had a huge crush on Conan. It was the first character sketch I ever wrote at late night, and Amy's brilliant performance made my very simple sketch idea 100% better. I'll always be grateful to her for that. I was originally going to cast a real 13-year-old girl as Stacy, but Amy managed to actually look 13 while giving a full-on powerhouse performance. She can do anything, obviously. John Glazer said satellite TV was always fun to write. It was completely open-ended to whatever short, weird, random, stupid idea you could think of. Late Night obviously catered to a specific weirder sensibility, and it was fun to work with a group of people who shared that sensibility. And having to write that type of show on a daily basis allowed for a wide variety of extreme stupidity to make it onto TV. It was a very fun job. I said this on yesterday's podcast, so I missed Conan. Not that I didn't like it. It was just the years were like, I wasn't watching TV. I was dating chicks, as I said on yesterday's show, humble brag. Yeah, I dated like two, maybe three different women that decade. Wow. I wish somebody would just rerun, like, if there were, we've got 8,000 streamers. Can't somebody just put up, like, every episode of Late Night with David Letterman and every episode of Late Night with Conan O'Brien? Peacock, can't you do that? What is on Peacock? Just show every Conan ever, and then I could go back and relive the 90s and catch up on all this, because I just missed it. Andy Blitz said, I love doing the remotes. I brought my desktop computer to India to find the NBC help desk woman, Sharon, who'd been trying to help me over the phone. Another time, I hailed taxis in Midtown trying to find one to take me to Toronto and finally found a cabbie named Happy who was up for the drive. There's another where Conan takes me apartment hunting and becomes a dictator and we annoy everyone. It showed how an extremely ridiculous decision could get approved as long as it was funny. NBC effectively and inexplicably agreed to cover a vacation to India for me and my girlfriend and a crew as long as I came back with good TV. I took a short leave from the show to be in a sitcom pilot, and I was rudely introduced to the massive amount of useless interference in a show the network's paying attention to. Tommy Blacha also said, my favorite all-time bit was satellite TV. Usually it was on a Friday, and you had all week to produce around 10 channels. You had a whole staff of talented writers that would pitch wonderfully smart or amazingly stupid channels. Often the pitch process was this quick. How about a potato that's a judge? Potato judge. Yeah, do it. It was rumored that Richard Nixon once commented on the show calling it madcap. I don't know why, but that made me happy. I have a couple more of these, but I'm going to save them because I recorded a 20-minute episode yesterday, and this one is at 15+, and I'm losing my voice. So that's your comedy news for today. That's how this podcast ends. When I go, my voice is cracking and my face hurts, then I'm done. So that's your comedy news for today. Back tomorrow. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. See you tomorrow.